The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I'm your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, I've really got to stop introducing the show like that, and we'll get it at some point. I just go back to what continues to work as we got the dog jumping up here having some fun. So yeah, how's it going? It's been a minute. I blame you for us not being on, but I'm not gonna actually blame you. So how's it going?
I don't know if it's my fault. I think it's your fault, but either way, it's good. Good to see you. Good to be back. Getting closer, about 8 more days.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's 8 days today, 7 days tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this. We have about a week at the Super Bowl coming up. We won't talk about the Super Bowl because that's the last thing that anybody really wants to talk about. Nobody really cares about the Super Bowl. Unless you got money on it, then yeah, maybe you do care. So just want to thank everybody so much for watching and listening. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button if you could for us. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for subscribing as well. You can follow us on all our social medias, X, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself at Jared_Timms, Nate at NateGreen34.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And let's get it rolling here. So we had some stuff go down while you were away and I couldn't podcast. We got to talk about it. Just wanted to continue. I'm just going to continue to blash.
I wasn't away when this happened, but you can continue.
You were definitely away. And
I was not.
We're getting the dogs going here. So we'll kind of see how this goes here. But two decently big moves we had. The Trey Cabbage trade was previously DFA'd for Robert Stevenson. Is that what I think it was, huh?
I believe so.
I believe it was Stevenson. Traded to the Astros for right-handed pitcher Carlos Espinosa. By the way, I like Carlos Espinosa. Anytime. So there's two sides of this trade for me. And this goes for any team that develops really well. And the Angels just haven't been able to do that. Number one off, it worries me to send young talent their way, like Trey Cabbage, who we know he has power. We know he swings and misses quite a bit. We saw him as a 30-30 guy down in AAA. I know that doesn't mean a lot, but some potential there. You know, like there's the power potential, 30 stolen bases. He's athletic. He can play. He can play the outfield. He can play the infield a little bit. We know he can hit. So there's a side of me that gets a little bit worried sending players that way. And then there's a side of me that gets excited to get a player from an organization that has shown they can develop really well like that, like the Astros have in Carlos Espinoza. Fastball can kick it up to the upper 90s. He's got the slider. He's got the, I think it's slider curveball changeup. So he's got the pitches to be a starter. I think it's more of a reliever build. We'll see where he goes as the reports stream in and as the 2024 season happens as well. I would assume. Oh man, I don't know where he goes. I think he's 22 from Cuba. He might go to he
I
might
think he goes
go.
to high A.
Yeah, I was gonna say he might come out by me here, and I might be able to go see him. He might be one of the better pitchers out there, and we might see him put up really, really good stats. We might see him in Rocket City before we know it. Now I want your thoughts on what I just said, because I know I just, threw up everything that was on my mind about the Trey Cabbage trade. I like trading with the Astros. It worries me trading with the Astros. Same thing with Tampa, same thing with the Dodgers. Like, always worries me, but I do like pieces that you can get back from those teams that develop really well.
To be fair, the Angels haven't really been burned too much by trading with the Astros or the
People
Rays.
bring up the Astros all the time. The Angels have made like one trade with the
Two.
Astros.
I
Two
can think of
trades.
two.
They got Patrick Sandoval, which awesome, great trade. I think for Martin Maldonado. And then they made the
Max
Carlos
Stassi trade.
Max Stassi trade, which wasn't bad. I didn't like the pieces
They
they gave
gave
up
up
at the
two
time.
guys who never made the big.
Yeah,
So
I didn't like it at the time. I'll say that. I didn't like the pieces they gave up.
I didn't think there was. At that point, the Angels, it was like a July 31st trade deadline trade. The Angels were, about 11 games out of first place,
Building, but not really. Yeah.
getting a third string catcher who couldn't hit. It didn't make a lot of sense to me, but it worked out well for the Angels, for a little bit at least until he didn't hit enough. But yeah, those are the two trades I could think of off the top of my head with the Astros and thinking about the Rays, I get more worried about signing guys from those teams because there's a reason they're not re-signing them. Either it's too much money or they got everything they can out of them and they don't see the guy continuing on. Trades I'm kind of okay with because you kind of are way more in control of what you're getting out of this. Like, you can say no to the Astros and say, like, no, this is not the guy we want. Like, this is the guy we want, or we're going to move on type of thing. So same thing with the Rays. You can do that. And I know I brought Cooper Criswell to you earlier where it's like, oh, he was going to turn into a superstar because he went to Tampa Bay. And it's like, no, he's not. So I'm not too worried about this from that standpoint. I've seen too many guys who could hit at the AAA level and couldn't hit the major league level to be concerned with, oh, Trey Cabbage is going to go somewhere else and be a superstar. I just feel like that's not, some guys just can't do it. And it sucks, but they're really good AAA players and that's it. I do like the stuff with Espinoza. I think the fastball is impressive. He can run it up there. Maybe how the bullpen is touching triple digits. It's 97, 94, 95, 96, 97. Slider, the weird thing with the reports is you have some people saying like he has no secondary pitch, and then you watch the slider and it's like there it's interesting, right? Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say it's a plus pitch, but people are acting like we're throwing this pitch away because it's so bad. And it's like he's 22 years old and he gets outs with it. So like I don't know. So I am interested. I'm intrigued by this. I think it makes a whole lot of sense. Trey Cabbage should not be. He was not a guy the Angels were going to give enough at bats to be successful in the major leagues. Now, if the Astros go and give him, a month's worth of at bats and the guy continues to rake, like, okay, maybe the Astros found something. But it didn't look like the Angels were going that direction to be like, hey, Cabbage, just go up there. We're willing to let you hit $120 for a month, and then we'll move on from there. Shanuel kind of blocked him. He had Moniak. He has Hicks. He has Trout. He has Ward. He has Drury. There's just so many guys that are kind of blocking him from like actual playing time.
Jordan Adams.
And what?
Jordan Adams.
Yeah, sure. Jordan Adams. Just because he's a better defender, maybe Jordan Adams gets the call over Trey Cabbage, depending on who gets hurt or things like that. But I think the Angels do have a 40-man problem, and I think this does start to help. Perry Minasian has. You want me to
I
stop?
was going to say, hold on about the 40-man issue, because we'll talk about that here in a second.
Okay. Because that's where I was going to go with the Cabbage trade. I don't have a problem with it. I think it makes a lot of sense. The Angels go get a young pitcher. They've done well with the young pitching, at least getting him to the major leagues. Now, are they good long term? We don't know, but at worst, he can turn into a bullpen arm, and that's something to get for a guy who didn't really show too much in the major league level last year. He was a pretty good AAA player, 30-30, like you said, but I mean, how many times have we seen it, especially as Angel fans, where there's a guy who absolutely rakes in AAA and gets called up to the bigs and can't hit his weight? So it's just how it works sometimes.
For me, Trey Cabbage, like Mikey Stefanik, I love the story behind it. Side note, great family. Love talking to the family. Like, Wayne's fantastic, his dad. Family's fantastic. Sucks to see him go from like a me standpoint. It's always tough to see the minor leaguers go, especially for me, especially talking with a lot of them and things like that. But like I said, like Mikey Stefanik, I just wanted to see him get a shot. I wanted to see what he was at the major league level. Same thing how we feel with Joe Adell, right? It's like, just give Joe Adell a shot. I know we got some backlash from people on here saying that the Angels have given Joe Adell every opportunity. It's like, he's played 80, the most games he's played in a season's 88, by the way.
And the most he's played in a row is like seven.
yeah, he
It's
is.
like ridiculous.
Yeah, besides the point, I don't want to talk about that. Mikey Stefanik, just want to see him get a chance. I thought Mikey actually played really well last year at the end of the year. I know games didn't really matter, but I thought he played well. I thought he hit, enough to stick around for a little while. Trey Cabbage, I'm glad he got an opportunity. I know he didn't do what he wanted to, but I have a strange feeling the Astros tend to do really cool things with guys that have a lot of power, like Trey Cabbage. I mean, Trey hit a 500-foot home run. He hit it out of the ballpark, just like when we talked about Joe Adell hitting one out of the park. Hit one, I think Jake Cabbage hit one out, or hit one over the scoreboard at Salt Lake, and it was unbelievable. So, sucks to see Trey Cabbage go. I'm glad he got an opportunity, especially with the story of the background getting let go by the Twins. Same draft, by the way, of Shane Carrier, their Canyon buddy of ours. On to some other news. The Angels do sign a reliever. I'm not going to butcher it. I'm not going to say Jacob Cisnero. I'm going to say Jose Cisnero. To a 1-year deal, one for 1.175, one for 1.75. Something like that. So not a
Oh,
crazy
that's
lot,
fantastic.
not a crazy amount. I do, again, I like it. 5-pitch mix. I actually was skeptical about 5 pitches. He truly does have 5 pitches. Fastball, pretty straight. He sinks one, change up, slider, curveball, all five go different directions. This actually kind of solidifies the bullpen in a sense, I think, because you go Estevez, Garcia, Ben Joyce, Jose Soriano, Robert Stevenson, Matt Moore, Adam Simber, and Cisnero. There's your eight guys right there, at least for now. Jose Suarez, I don't think has a spot here unless you put him in the rotation. We will see. That'll be to come. We'll see where that goes. We have all spring to talk about your Jose Cis or not Jose Cisneros, your Jose Suarez obsession. But yeah, I think that Cisneros signing really does solidify the bullpen in a sense. I'd like to see them get deeper with some minor league deals, but bullpen's coming along. I don't want to say it's perfect. You still have to get to the bullpen with a lead, to be able to use it correctly, and that's going to be one of my big issues. And also the starting rotation, we'll see how deep they can get into games too. But thoughts on the Cisneros deal?
I think it's really hard to talk about this without going into my 40-man thing, but I will
No, no,
try.
no. This is why I wanted to get to this, because the Angels do DFA Levon Soto, and give me your thoughts on Cisneros first, then we can go on to the 40-man, because I got a full circle thing here that we got
Yeah,
going on. So
I
I know we
got you.
got going.
So Cisnero, interesting, like he's had success with Detroit. He had the blow up year last year. Not gonna be a guy that the Angels are gonna use in high leverage, kind of more of the Andrew Wontz role where it's like the sixth, seventh inning. That's kind of what I'm seeing for Cisnero. It is interesting to the signing with the rumblings of the Angels not really spending any money and you're going to go spend money on more bullpen. And I kind of, and this is one that doesn't happen too often, but I kind of disagree with you about going to get deeper when it comes to relief pitchers. I think that they're deep enough when it comes to relief pitchers. I think that they have enough guys to get through a season when it comes to the bullpen. Because I'm going to be counting guys that you won't, because I will count Sam Bachman. I will count
Kenny Rosenberg, Zach Plesac.
I will count Zach Plesac. I wouldn't count Kenny Rosenberg, because Rosenberg's kind of
That's that. It's depth in the bullpen, though. You look at
it is.
the bullpen.
Please, Plesac's actually one of those guys for me. Kochanowicz is one of those guys for me that could easily come up and be a guy out of the pen. So I think there's enough guys there. Plus, you're still looking at Wants is still here. Hurgit's still here. I'm not a big Hurgit guy, but he's still on the 40 man. So you have him who's pitched in the major leagues for a little bit. You're hoping Quintana is coming back in July. That would be another arm. Warren would come back in hopefully around July as well. Like, I feel like there's enough bullpen help, especially when you have guys where it's like, is Mason Urla a starting pitcher in the bigs? We don't know. Could he come in and be really good out of the bullpen? Absolutely. So there are pieces in the minor leagues where it's like, hey, you can go pitch and be a bullpen arm. Caceres probably isn't making the roster. He's going to start the year in Triple A. You have the lefty that I'm blanking on, who got DFA'd right after Plesac signing. But
Adam Kolarik.
yeah, Colerick, thank you. Colerick is still down there. You have Maderos, who's down there. Like, there's a bunch of guys who can go get outs in the bullpen. I'm not worried about that, and I'm going to continue to stress this until I'm blue in the face. They don't have enough depth when it comes to starting pitching. Because I'm not going to count relievers as starters. I know a lot of people will do it. I know a lot of people will say Sam Bachman's a for sure starter. I don't believe it. When he comes out and proves to me that he's a starting pitcher, fine. Go ahead. But like, you've got to prove something right now. We haven't seen him go more than 5 innings at a start. We've seen the velo drop after going 3 innings. So like, there is a little bit of an issue with him there from a starter standpoint. He came up and pitched out of the bullpen last year. He's really going to have to take a step in the minor leagues to prove that he's a major leaguer. Mason Urla, like I talked about, do we know if he's a starter? We don't. Kenny Rosenberg is about, and Plesac would be the only guys in the minor leagues that have had pitched in the major leagues as a starter, and that would be who you're going to. Like, you need to go get probably two minor league guys and say, hey, you're not going to make the roster out of spring, but if this happens, if this happens, if this happens, because Jose Suarez is getting DFA'd at the end of the spring. Like, there is no chance that Jose Suarez makes this roster as a starting pitcher. And if he does, then I have no idea. I'll probably lose my mind if
Clarify that
Suarez
next
makes it.
clarify next time because he could be in the bullpen.
He could.
Could be.
He could, but then again, you just signed. That means Ben Joyce is in the bullpen, which would be an absolute. I don't even know. That'd be a huge mistake, Ben Joyce not
Well,
making this roster out of spring.
but I'm looking at it this way. If you wanted Suarez, like he showed something, Joyce you could send down, yes. Soriano, you could send down. Adam Simber, you could.
Even though Soriano was like arguably your
Yeah,
best
you're
reliever
probably
last
not
year.
sending. You'd like to not send down Joyce or Soriano, but they have the options that you could hypothetically, if you wanted to keep Soriano or Suarez around for long enough. Like we mentioned before, the Angels did DFA Levon Soto. Interesting. I'm not. I don't know if I'm really following what they're doing. Usually, like, and this has been the entire Perry era. Like I understood moves that like former GMs made, like Jerry DePoto, Billy Epler. Like you understand moves that a lot of other GMs make. I don't understand some of the moves that Perry makes. Like I know Levon Soto came up, had a really good year, was a fan, had a really good like month, was a fan
Yeah,
favorite.
it's like
Everybody thought he
September.
was, yeah, everybody thought he was going to be the starting shortstop. Didn't make the team out of spring, came up, didn't look very good last year for I think a small amount of time. Didn't look good down in the minors either, but can play the middle infield. Nate, you and I mentioned you want to build up the middle. Is somebody that if he can play up the middle, you can probably put him at third, second, third, short, second, Might be able to play a corner outfield spot too. In fact, I think I've seen him play a corner outfield spot too, down in Rocket City. So it's somebody who's got versatility. He's never going to hit a lot. It's very much so like an Andrew Watts thing.
Andrew Velasquez, excuse
Andrew
me.
Velasquez, sorry, not Watts. Andrew Velasquez thing, yes. But still, good teams have guys like Andrew Velasquez that can fill holes. If Zach Neto goes down, the Angels don't really have a guy that can play there. I know everybody's going to say Luis Renifo can play there, but who's playing second? And you move Drury over. Like they need to get a little deeper up the middle for sure. You could bring up a guy like Charlie LeBlanc, Richie Martin. I mean, Willie Calhoun. But again, you had a guy on the 40-man who can play up the middle, who can play good defense up the middle too. Might not hit a lot, but you know, actually has shown that he can hit at the major league level.
There was one guy
So
you missed shortstop wise, but
what did I miss?
Tyrann Parris.
Oh yeah, I guess you can put Kyron there too. So I guess, you know,
But
Kyron being gone, but
here's the one thing that makes it interesting, and I was the one who was very I was a little bit more upset about the Levon Soto DFA than you were. Mikey Stefanik turns 28 at the end of the month. He is a 28-year-old journeyman who has come up and he's hit a little bit, not for power. Can't play a position. Like, he is the odd man out on this 40-man roster. It's like, what does he do? What does he bring to this 40-man that we don't have? Like, he can't play a position. He hits, but not for enough power. And yeah, maybe he'll take some walks and things like that, but if I'm calling up a guy, like if Zach Neto hurts his back and he's out for 4 weeks, I'm not calling up Mikey Stefanik to play, you know, two or three times in those 4 weeks. I'd rather call up Levon Soto and be like, hey, we're going to run out Luis Rengifo at shortstop for 7 innings, and then Levon Soto is going to play the eighth and the ninth at shortstop, hopefully with a lead. I just don't see a future for Mikey on this team, and I know you like the story and everything. I don't understand him being on this 40-man roster right now.
We're also, and I feel like I have to mention this before, you know, we let everybody go, before we let everybody go, but like, is a guy like Mikey Stefanik on a 40-man really anywhere else? Is a guy like
No.
Levon Soto on a 40-man anywhere else? Probably not,
Probably not. You
right?
might have a guy. The only reason why I would say probably not and not for sure no is because Levon Soto is an elite defender, right? Like, you will have some team who is a playoff team that has like a legit defensive shortstop on their 40 man. Maybe the guy hits a little bit better than Levon Soto, but like I would bet like Andrew Velasquez was on a 40 man for the Yankees a couple of years back. Should Andrew Velasquez be on a 26 man roster is a completely different story, but like Andrew Velasquez was on a 40 man roster.
You get what I'm
And then
saying.
you
You
can,
get what I'm saying, though. Like,
But like
we're
you understand where I'm coming from too, right? Like Levon Soto plays elite defense at shortstop. Like there are orgs that have that. Do orgs carry 28-year-olds that don't play a position, that don't hit enough, that, you know, has not really played in the major leagues? Like, that's not a guy that orgs typically carry. That's the one that more head scratching to me than the Levon Soto thing, because at least Levon Soto brings something to the table. He brings elite defense up the middle. Very, very important. That's a worst case scenario. I know Kyron Paris can bring good defense up the middle as well, like I mentioned, but you kind of know what you're getting with Levon Soto. And if it's only a 10-day injury, are you really wanting to call up Kyron Parrish for 10 days to go play shortstop maybe two or three times? Probably not. It would have made more sense to call up a Levon Soto and say, hey, go play shortstop, you know, two or three times. We'll send you back down. And, you know, it is what it is. So that's kind of the interesting thing to me is the Mikey Stefanik Levon Soto argument of who should be on this 40-man right now.
Yeah, no, and we'll see. Questions start getting answered real soon. I mean, we're a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting. I think we're 2.5 weeks away from well, we're probably 2 weeks away from full first full team, and we're probably about 2.5 weeks away from maybe 3 weeks now from the first spring training game. So again, questions start getting answered soon. And there are a lot of free agents still left that could be impactful for a lot of teams. I don't know if the Angels are going to be in that market. I don't want to talk about that tonight because we can talk about that next time, because I think that there is a plan in play here, and I think it's something that we've mentioned quite a few times in the past. But before we let everybody go, just again, thank you so much for watching and listening. Go ahead and subscribe if you can for us. Tell a friend about us as well. Let them know that you found a cool Angels podcast. Go ahead and follow us on all our social medias, X, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself at X, Jared underscore Tim's Nate at NateGreen34. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.